targeted for specific periods like immigrant populations. For instance, in recent periods, people with Arab or Muslim connections have been identified as dangerous and suspect and subject to all kinds of scrutinies. So that at any given time, we acknowledge that the list of groups and communities begins to evolve and change. But essentially, there's some history that we look to identify groups that have been structurally kept out of the decision-making process, who, when they are empowered, it is through their struggle and the struggle of those people who ally with them that they gain strength and power. And we're calling for those groups to be represented as constituent groups. We'll discuss other categories in a few moments. In addition to this, I want to just comment on what we mean by constituent representation. In the listener subscriber model, basically we identify two categories. We identify members, and they may divide into more than one grouping, but essentially they're members who will vote, an electorate who votes. And they vote for representatives initially at the station board level and possibly at the national level. Within the constituent model, what we actually do is look at the distinct elements of the listener population and how they actually match up with the constituent groupings that I've just talked about. That is, communities of color, groups that are under attack or consistently structurally kept out of the decision-making process. And therefore, the constituent representation is that there would be specifically people who are voted for or voted in by those groups to represent their interests in specific, as well as who represent the broad interests that bind us all together. What I mean by that is that the Pacifica mission statement, which identifies the whole process of bringing people together and the opposition against exploitation and oppression, is a critical common denominator. However, on the other hand, as a component of society, the process of governance within Pacifica and certainly at the local level, we propose and we maintain should actually help the empowerment, that is the decision-making and policy-making ability of those various groups who are oppressed and underrepresented typically. In other words, rather than just generally having representation by a broad membership, we say that that broad membership's representation should be structured in a way that specifically identifies a variety of groups and then represents their interests as well as the overall common interest. And we feel that that is a much easier way to assist in the empowerment. It also allows Pacifica and WBAI, each signal area, to practice what it preaches. For instance, if we are at once, and Pacifica and WBAI purport to not only be the voice of the voiceless and a platform for those who are underrepresented to speak, but it also takes specific criticisms and makes political assessments as a group of the society. It identifies the prejudicial nature inherent and structurally consistent throughout the society, and as such, it would serve better to do as it would serve itself better to do what it proposes as a policy for societal change within its own ranks. And so we're proposing that the BAI signal area and Pacifica actually support a program that identifies that those groups are structurally and fundamentally underrepresented and non-empowered. There's a lot of discussion that was presented previously about rationales. There was also comments made by about the composition in general of the activist community that's been mostly involved in this struggle, and the composition being predominantly white, but there are obviously some significant numbers of African ancestry, Latino, Asian participants, but what we seek and what we strive for is a representation and decision making that is much more reflective of the population and not simply of the activists who are participating. And we feel that this is not only a hypothetical or philosophical abstract wish that couldn't be practically manifested. We think it's a principled stand, and we think that there are practical ways that it could occur. The proposal or the discussion that Mimi Rosenberg led about a month ago, she proposed a task force. And the spirit of that was that people would come together to really examine the questions that we've talked about earlier today and in previous meetings in detail. But the importance of it was that to discuss the specific bylaws on a item-by-item basis without really looking at whose interests they serve fundamentally and what structure it may operate within is to miss an important element. And so we feel that while the task force proposal was not really picked up, CPR has in fact looked at several issues and is planning in fact to move forward with a variety of meetings that we'll discuss in a few moments, meetings with various communities and representatives of various communities on this question. We come here today to present to this broader body, this bylaw subcommittee that represents all activists, in the spirit of friendship. We come here to propose that you reconsider the lack of interest and lack of responsiveness that existed to the proposal earlier, that a task force of people come together to look at this. We will, as I said, be moving on this regardless, but ideally it's something that we feel should be discussed within this body and taken up within this body. What I'm going to do now is discuss one model. There are a couple of different models of the constituent formulation that we've actually talked about. I'll mention two, but I'll discuss in more detail one. One model that we have discussed, but I won't go into in detail with this evening, is a model in which these communities of color, oppressed communities, are in fact identified as existing, living, residing primarily in a series of neighborhoods or communities in the greater WBAI signal area. For example, in Washington Heights, a significant segment of the Latino community lives there. In East Harlem, El Barrio, there's a significant sect. In Central Harlem, Bedford-Stuyvesant, a variety of other communities in Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx, there are significant areas in which communities of color exist. So there's at least one discussion and model in which we try to identify communities and include representation from that. That is a bit more difficult and problematic of a model. However, I think there is some merit to that, certainly the acknowledgement of the geographic representation, but we will not go into that in detail today. Another model that we're looking at still maintains the contact and the context of the various communities who are oppressed, that is communities of color, as well as immigrant communities. However, the representation would not be targeted by geography in terms of an election process and a representation process. It would be signal area wide. Specifically, I'm going to list very quickly now about 10 categories and approximately 19 or 20 actual groupings within the constituent model proposal. The oppressed communities are listed primarily in alphabetical order. The African ancestry, Asian ancestry, Latino community, Native or Indigenous community, and also a fifth area, the immigrant community, are among those specifically that have to do with oppressed groups. Then there are staff at WBAI, and there are the paid and unpaid staff. Also, the labor, as part of our attempt to really connect with working people, we look at rank and file labor as another important constituent group. Youth, something that many of you in this room have mentioned from time to time. In addition to that, we see women as a critical segment of the population that ought to be represented within a constituent model. The artists, cultural worker, and arts community is another one, consistent with the mission as well as with much that will go on to enhance, I think, our ability to communicate with the broad array of listeners. The disabled is another specific constituent group that we feel should be represented on a consistent basis. In addition to that, prisoners, those who are jailed and imprisoned, must be represented. The lesbian, gay, and transgender community has been identified as a group that is consistently under attack and not represented in the halls of decision making. Signal area listeners is the 10th category, and within that there are a number of subsets. And so let me just, before I go further on that, the whole sense of signal area listeners, which was under the listener subscriber model, of course, that was the entire electorate. We tried to identify that as still a constituent group, although each of the groups that have just been mentioned would actually come from people who not only listen, but have taken an active role and would take an active role in the WBAI and Pacifica life. But within the signal areas, we see the New York City listener population as one constituent area, the New Jersey area as one, Long Island as another, the upstate New York and Connecticut group has been one that, in our playing around with it, we've identified as a group that's been combined. That's open to discussion for sure, as is everything. And then there are some at-large listener positions. In the at-large positions, we included here, parenthetically, people who would have expertise in fiscal and financial matters, legal matters, technical. For instance, the whole area of what we do locally and as a network with respect to the 21st century technology and how we interface with that, we think is an area that's been under-discussed and missed. And so we feel that at the local level, there should also be that kind of expertise. We've included that as well as people who deal with development, that is fundraising, within the not-for-profit sector, as well as people who have experience with organizations of the type that we are operating. We've included it there in the at-large because if, for some reason, within the other categories, of which there were many, those particular skills are not represented, that could be an area where candidates with those particular skills could certainly be included. Now, that's important because we acknowledge that this is a struggle that does have a very practical aspect to it. That is, not only governance in the sense of developing and drafting bylaws and maintaining vigilance, but the actual operation. We need people who can provide an array of skills and contributions with respect to the organization. So that's why we've suggested that they be included there, just to underscore that we've not ignored that in trying to develop an array of constituent groups. The representatives that each of these constituent groups would elect is what we want to touch on very briefly. And that would either, at this point in our discussions, we've had that these categories would be 1 to 2 representatives. And what I mean by that is that in some of these listings, there could be one representative or there could be two. And in others, we strongly feel that there should be at least two representatives. Those are things that are open to discussion and would help determine the size of the local board. We felt that rather than come up with some number, some absolute number on the front end, that we should back into the size of the board. It was a much more realistic, I mean, all things considered, by talking about what needs are and having it develop from that perspective. With respect to the election of representatives, this is an area that's quite dicey, and we've begun to look at an approach in which each person who represents, each of the voters who's in a constituency would vote once. That's been the primary way, but that's not even an absolute. And we could discuss why, with issues of proportional voting, et cetera, why that might be something to be looked at as well, and why we need a task force to bounce around some of these issues. For instance, there are constituents that many of us in this room could belong to, more than one constituent group. And at this point, however, for discussion purposes, we've pretty much looked at representation and voting by each member in one constituent group. So that if I'm, for instance, voting in the African ancestry, I would not, under general thinking now, vote in the New York City Signal area constituent group. However, as I said, those kinds of things are open to discussion. And remember, the primary purpose is to provide involvement and representation that is from people who are historically and often structurally underrepresented. Now, the participation process. Okay. The participation processes. There are two critical elements in the participation process. One is the whole role of outreach, and the other is the role of community organizations and leadership. With respect to pre-election outreach, that's an area that we don't feel enough practical attention has been continually attended to. Specifically, there have been attempts by the lab through the membership efforts and the Concerned Friends groups that Paul has helped coordinate to do outreach, but we think it has to be coordinated. That coordination really needs to consist of the lab and listeners working in a voluntary capacity, but also working in collaboration with the station and station staff. Specifically, if we can also get the national board to participate in that, we think that would be critical. Now, the way that the station staff and the lab and the listeners would work in this would be through a series of outreach activities that involve community organizing, town hall meetings, in which the various communities that we've identified would participate. There would be a consistent targeting between now and the election period, which comes in December, in which the groups would be solicited to participate in the discussion of the issues concerning bylaws and governance, and in which the outreach that we do would be facilitated and complemented by the activists and leaders that represent those communities. So, for instance, there would be perhaps meetings that would take place in Washington Heights, but would not be meetings that were initiated by the lab or the station in isolation, but by those parties as well as by activists in that community. There would be African ancestry and Latino and Asian community town hall meetings that would be led primarily by the outreach and organizing activity of the activists and leaders from those communities. We feel that if they are really grounded in those communities, that those activists and leaders would be critical in the outreach effort. Additionally, we think at the national level there should be support for at least a permanent outreach and organizer within each Signal area. We think that the experience of things like the Pacifica campaign, in which there were full-time people who were dedicated to the specific task, that there is benefit to that, and they could provide liaison and important roles in helping to mesh the involvement of the station, the lab, and the listener community. Also, at the station level, we should understand that the whole aspect of programming and the providing of carts would be an important element that would be consistently presented in advance, so that not only would these town hall and other meetings take place in communities, but there would be publicity over the period of anywhere from a week to 2 weeks in advance to bill for these, and there would be, again, regularly scheduled. The whole process of nomination, candidacy, and elections, which don't have to really take place until the end of this year, would be given ample time to develop. And I think that we would see the composition of the electorate, as well as the nature of the representation, vastly change if we support such a mission. Lastly, in terms of next steps, CPR plans to do outreach with the leaders of a variety of communities. We think that the activists and leaders and the people of those communities have most of the information and certainly the answers on how they might participate and what are burning issues that we all can benefit from deriving from their input. So we plan on doing that to organize the